Now, I promise y'all, I'm going to try to do this. Try is the key word. As calmly and as cool and quickly as I possibly can. I don't want to go on no rant about how this shouldn't be done and all this other, because it shouldn't. But I think I've been pretty vocal in episodes that didn't have anything to do with this. So we got our trailer for The Strangers Chapter 1. Yes, people, if you are a fan of what I think was a 2009 home invasion, thriller, horror, whatever you want to classify it as. Yeah, there's a remake and a reboot, whatever you want to call it. And Renny Harlin, the director of this one, he didn't just direct one. He directed two more that are going to follow after this. Now, as we know, or as people may not know, there was the original, and then there was a sequel called The Strangers Pray at Night, which I think Johannes Roberts, the director of Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, I think he did a pretty good fucking job. That sequel is way better than it has any business being. I think that it's shot really well. I love the trailer park setting. I think that the strangers, you know, they are on screen a lot more than they were in the original movie. So it kind of takes away from some of the tension, but the tension is not... it's not non-existent, man. It's still there. And there's some really good chase sequences and stalk sequences throughout the course of that movie, man. In that second movie, there is a jump scare that I feel like should have been saved for the actual movie itself, where the girl with the doll face mask on, well, they both got doll face masks on, but the one, I think, with the shorter hair, the short black hair, she pops out while this girl is hiding from the guy with the bag over his head in a tunnel. And the way she pops out, you know, she says something to the girl and the girl just screams at the top of her lungs. They played that at the end of the first trailer and it was a nice jump scare. I just felt like they should have just saved it for the movie. Then there's that pool chase sequence with the brother. It's a well shot sequel, man. I actually like it a lot. But that first one, the first one is hands down, you know, it was next generation scary movie for me. I'm not just saying like a movie that's in the horror genre. No, that movie actually genuinely, absolutely scared the shit out of me. And I can't remember the director's name, but the director did a really good job. The pacing is great. The atmosphere of it is great. The tone of it, everything that the movie has going for it. You know, it is it's one of my favorite home invasion movies. And it is definitely like when we talking like top maybe 10 or 25 horror movies of all time, scariest movies of all time, is definitely on that list, man. I didn't think a movie that came out in 2009, you know, that was so modern at the time would be able to do that. So I was really confused when they said Renny Harlin was directing three more of these, man. You know, nothing against Renny Harlin. Let me just say that off the rip. You know, director of, you know, I feel like one of the more underrated Nightmare on Elm Street movies, which was The Dream Master. He did a really good job directing that movie. And I think even though it was in the shadow of the best sequel, arguably the best in the franchise, which was The Dream Warriors, he still managed to bring some really great characters in there, some really creative kills. He's responsible for giving us one of the greatest death sequences, the nastiest body horror death sequences in the entire franchise, or of all time for that matter, when he, you know, when Debbie gets turned into a fucking cockroach by Freddy Krueger. So he's got that under his belt. All you Sylvester Stallone action fans out there, he's got Cliffhanger. I really don't remember anything from that movie except the setting and except the fact that, Sylvester Stallone was in there. But he's also the director of movies like Deep Blue Sea and Mindhunters. Deep Blue Sea, I feel like, is still... there's a bar to be set when you have killer sharks in a movie. As cheesy as a lot of the moments are in Deep Blue Sea, I still love that movie. It's got one of the most surprising, shocking, and hilarious death sequences of all time with Samuel Jackson's moment. And the black guy lives. You had two token black guys in the movie for the price of one, but L. Cool J, playing Preach, man, he saved the day. He killed the last shark, saved Thomas Jane, and he survives himself, man. They did not make him the sacrificial Negro in that movie, and I appreciate it. Deep Blue Sea is a fun movie, man. Fun shark movie. One of the good ones that we still have left out here. And Mindhunters, you know, speaking of L. Cool J, he survived that movie also. Mindhunters is one of those psychological crime thrillers that a lot of people don't talk about. And Renny Harlin put together a really good cast with L. Cool J, Johnny Lee Miller, Val Kilmer's in it briefly, but he's in it nonetheless. And you've got Cliff Collins Jr., I believe his name is. It's a Patricia is it Velasquez, the chick that played Anaxuna Moon in the Mummy movies, the Steven Sommers movies. It's a really good put together cast. It's a really good whodunit creative type of movie. I suggest y'all check that out, Mindhunters, if y'all haven't seen it. So it's not to say that Rennie Harlan's a bad director, but I think as far as like a property like The Strangers, where he's got to deal with, you know, tension, suspense, and true terror, you know, horror, I don't think he's the guy for it. I stick to my guns when I say that, man. I've never seen a movie of Rennie Harlan's, you know, a genre piece where I'm like, yo, man, that was actually scary. There is no part in any Rennie Harlan movie that he's done horror-wise that has ever been scary for me. I'm sorry. So when they said that he was doing not one but three of these, I'm like, why? You know, I think The Strangers is a modern classic. I didn't feel like, I mean, it didn't need a sequel, but the sequel was great. I would have taken a part three, you know, a follow-up to Pray at Night as opposed to just a complete reboot in trilogy form. But I'm curious, people. I'm curious nonetheless, man, because it's a property that is like it's too good to just die down and just be left alone, man. And if this is the route we had to go, you know, because we couldn't get a proper part three and we have to just go back to the drawing board, cool. But because there are two movies already made, you know, that were already shot and they're ready to go at this point, it's just a matter of release date and, you know, whatever the studio says type of thing. What if this doesn't do well at the box office? Do they scrap the other two movies that are completely finished that people worked so hard on? I don't know. It's a big risk. This is one of the reasons why they, you know, David Gordon Green and Danny McBride didn't want to do, you know, Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends back to back. Or I don't know if it was Ends and Kills or 2018 and Kills back to back. But they were going to release them a bit closer than they were. And they said, nah, let's just see how people respond to the first one. And then we'll go about, you know, moving along with the sequel. Now, Rennie Harlan said, fuck that. He said, I don't want to do all that. I'm confident. I'm Mr. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, the Dream Master, Cliffhanger, Deep Blue Sea, Mindhunters. He said he is that confident that he filmed all three of these back to back and they are locked and loaded, ready to go. And obviously, so are we. Like I said, Rennie Harlan's directing his people. The writers on board, you got Alan R. Cohen and Alan Friedland. I have not heard of those guys, and I have not heard of majority of this cast except for Richard Brake. Is it Brake or Brake? Richard Brake. It's spelled Brake, so we're just gonna go with Brake for the sake of argument. I know he's gonna die. He plays a character named Sheriff Rotter. So, you know, Richard Brake in any horror movie he's in, he's not safe. You're either a villain or you are on the chopping block. You look at Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, you look at Doom, you know, all types of movies that he's in, he's pretty much a villain or he's just a target. Then you got Madeline Petch is in here, Rachel Shinton, Gabriel Basso, George Young, Rebecca Johnston. I wonder if she's related to Joe Johnston, because if so, we definitely need that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot that they were going to do. But people, actually, it wasn't a reboot. It was a direct sequel, and I think Disney Plus canceled that shit. But that's depressing news for another time, man. Now, this is pretty much the same premise as far as like a couple going to some place and being stalked throughout the course of the night by the three strangers. But this is, I don't know what makes them, you know, take a detour to this secluded Airbnb, but that's where they're at in this movie. And shout out to Lionsgate Movies for dropping this 28 minutes ago. This trailer is 2 minutes and 25 seconds long, people. So literally, fingers crossed, man. I like the poster. I dig the poster. That's what the thumbnail is here. So let's see, man. I'm hoping this looks good. Let me give some volume on it a little bit before we start, people. Let's get into this trailer reaction for The Strangers Chapter 1. I will hit the play button in 3, 2, 1.
Do you know what today is?
Today is the third day of our 3-day road trip across the country.
Or our 5-year anniversary.
One or the other.
What a cool little town. I actually like this so much better than a hotel.
Beautiful fucking cabin. Airbnb, whatever. It's beautiful. Oh god, that quintessential. All the townspeople look at you crazy. Oh, it's the two little boys from the first one. Well, not from the first one, but they recreated those two. What are they? Of Latter-day Saints or something?
It's nice.
Mm-mm.
camera here?
No.
I think you have the wrong home.
Karibo.
That's weird.
Are we gonna go beat for beat remake here? Like what? Oh, the bag looks different over the guy's head. There's that.
You are the messiest eater on the planet.
What the fuck? Yeah, that's not coming from the food. Ugh. Axe Through the Door was decent. Oh, they running in this? Do they run in the original? Okay, the motorcycle exploded. What about the truck? There's still a truck, or was it a car? I don't know. Oh. Go ahead, say it. Just say it.
Because you're here.
She screamed, and you know she's crazy. She screamed in the face of a shotgun. Okay, listen, people. Now I tried, but I'm about to just call a spade a spade. You know, I'm getting vibes off of two remakes here in particular. And I don't know if it's that one person out there that knows where I'm going with this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it because I was just watching the piece of shit remake that I'm about to mention. Not the first one, or not the other one I was talking about, but this is the one remake. I was just watching that piece of shit, Don't Ask Me Why, on Tubi a couple days ago. I'm getting vibes of that Cabin Fever remake. There was a remake that Eli Roth co-signed on, and I think Travis Z was the director. They literally used the same script. There's maybe 5-10% new dialogue in that script that they used. But it is almost word for word, line for line, verbatim, the exact same dialogue from the original Cabin Fever movie that Eli Roth directed and wrote. And in my opinion, I'm just like, well, why would y'all do this? You know, it's not like, well, why wouldn't y'all just do this or do that or just call it something else? No, there was no reason for the Cabin Fever remake to ever exist because they didn't do anything new. Does it have some new gore in there? Some nasty ass practical gore? Hell yeah, it does. But it was absolutely no reason for it to exist because it is literally a carbon copy of the same fucking movie with a different cast. The second remake that comes to mind is Gus Van Sant's Psycho. Now, that movie had way more money. It had an amazing cast. Viggo Mortensen, the late great Anne Heche, and Vince Vaughn, Julianne Moore, William H. Macy. Amazing cast, but it is literally shot for shot the same movie. Does it look amazing? Yes, it does. It's a very polished, very clean looking remake. But it is the same remake shot for shot. It's pointless. They don't do anything new. They recreate the same fucking scenes and don't have an identity to stand on their own two feet. Now, one could argue that Night of the Living Dead 1990 does the same thing as far as a remake goes, but where Tom Savini makes you think you're going to get the same shit beat for beat, he gives you a sucker punch here and he pulls the rug from up under you over there, and you know he gives you, you know, a slap in the face there. He takes you all over the place with these twists and turns as far as the plot and the characters go. That's why that shit stands out, and that's why I can respect it. Another one, arguably, is The Hills Have Eyes. Why do we bash Psycho the way we do, but we give The Hills Have Eyes, I think it was 2006, why do we give that shit a pass? Now, granted, it is definitely grimy, gritty, more vicious than the Wes Craven original, but it is, it's pretty much the same scenes, back to back to back, as the original movie. There's just more violence, and it's just way more in your face, just downright dirtiness and just visceralness of it. Is visceralness a word? I don't know, because it is now. That being said, there is very little that is different about this shit, man. And I don't know if this is going to be good or not. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Are they bumping up, like, the tension? Sure. We see the strangers run, and we see they have a bit more aggression. That doesn't necessarily really make it better. Like, I'm cool with the way that the first one was shot, where they film these, they film the strangers like they film Michael Myers. Like, especially the man in the bag with the bag over his head, where there's a scene where Liv Tyler's, I think she's just lighting a cigarette, and you almost don't even see the guy standing behind her. There's a moment where Scott Speedman's best friend shows up at the cabin before he gets killed, and the man in the bag with the bag over his head is walking behind him while that record is playing. Even the girls, you know, even the girls are shot like alternate versions of Michael Myers, man. And it makes it creepy. It adds to the tension. It genuinely adds to the cat and mouse shit that the first movie had. Even the second movie, for that matter. So just because you just ratchet up things just a little bit and try to make it more intense, that doesn't make it better. Like, this is the same shit. That's why I said, you know, when she's like, why are you doing this? And it's the same fucking scene where they've got them tied up side by side in the chairs and a stranger just standing in front of them. And she's like, why are you doing this? And then the doll face chick just looks her in the face and she's like, because you're here. Okay, that's cool. Like, was that going to get people excited? Like, oh, I remember that line from the original. Nah, because the shit came out in 2009. It didn't come out that long ago to where we forgot what the fucking tagline was. Like this shit, I tried to be fair, and I tried to give it the benefit of the doubt, and I'm like, okay, the posters are cool, and we'll see what happens. This is the shit I was afraid of. What are y'all going to do differently that's going to set y'all aside from even the sequel that people did not enjoy at all? This is going to make people go back and appreciate that second movie. Everybody that talked shit about it and said, oh, they didn't need to do it, I feel like they're going to be able to appreciate it more now, because this isn't, okay, you blew up a motorcycle. There's different parts in the woods and in the house to run through. Cool. But it's literally the same fucking movie. It's turning out to be a really pointless looking fucking remake, in my opinion, man. I don't know what good I can say. Yeah, there's some cool shots. There's some cool shots in here. The mask looks slightly different. Cool. The mannerisms are, you know, different. Excuse me, people. I don't know what that was, like a burp. Maybe I almost threw up because this shit is making me sick right now. You know, there's that moment where the short hair chick and the chick with the short hair on the mask, she just like slowly leans her head on the man with the bag over his head's chest. So I don't know. Is he fucking both of them? Is he fucking her? Like, do they have a romantic relationship? I don't know. I don't really care. That was the whole reason of the strangers in the first one, was the mystery. You know, that whole because you were home is so symbolic to that first movie, man, that it's no need to really like to really recreate that line, put some of your own little flair on it, or just recreate this movie in general. I don't know, man. I don't know. And it's like, How fucking dumb are these characters to where, you know, they're eating burgers and fries and having beers. Unless your burger still has a heartbeat, why should that shit be bleeding like that? Ketchup doesn't drip like that. They didn't know it was blood dripping from the ceiling, and I think it was like a chicken or some shit that was tied to. You motherfuckers is sitting there eating dinner. How do you not see a fucking chicken hanging? I don't know if it was from the fan, the chandelier, whatever it is. How do y'all not see that when y'all sit down? Like, you can't be that just that nonchalant and just non-observant to not see that shit, man. I don't know. I'm already not rooting for these characters. The strangers, like, whatever. It is what it is. Y'all about to turn this into a generic slasher movie, a stalk and chase and kill slasher movie. I don't know. I don't know. I ain't feeling it. I ain't feeling it, people. And if y'all out there loving this trailer, that's cool. I'm glad that y'all are, but I want to say I could have gone all day without doing this. I was actually debating. I'm like, do I want to do this trailer? But I'm kind of starting to regret it. Let's watch it again, I guess. Fuck, man. Today is the third day of our three-day road trip across the country. Or our five-year anniversary. What a cool little town.
I actually like this so much better than a hotel.
And it's like, are we supposed to care about them more because they're not going through the same problems Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman were going through?
Hi.
Hi.
Fuck my life.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
The silence. It's nice.
I mean, he wasn't about to get no ass anyway. They both had all their clothes on. At least when when he had Liv Tyler on the counter.
No.
I think she was going for his pants and she took her drawers off or something. Scott Speedman was going to get some. This dude wasn't.
That was weird.
Oh, and I didn't mention they changed their outfits. Cool.
Messiest eater on the planet.
And they're looking like, I think there's blood dripping from the ceiling. Now, I do like the shot of the axe going through the door. Same shit, like they rammed the truck into the car and all that.
Why are you doing this, Dad? Because you're here.
The husband should have just looked at her like, wait, didn't we hear that before? And why, you know, he had her dead bang. Why would he not blow her head off? Now, that's the moment where the husband is, you have earned your right to get murked off in this movie, sir, because these people have been trying to kill y'all all night. I'm pretty sure that's not early on in the movie where he's got that shotgun pointed right at her melon, and you had a chance to get rid of her, and you just let her scream in your face and shake her head from side to side like, okay, yeah, she's batshit crazy. We've established that the moment they broke into y'all house. And if he doesn't, I'm telling you what's gonna happen. He's probably going to, we know what's going to happen. She's going to scream in his face. He's going to let that shotgun off. And you're going to hear click. And then the guy or the other girl is going to pop up and he's going to die. He's going to die, or they're going to knock him out. And then that's when they're going to drag him to the house and tie him up next to his girl. I was about to say, well, why are they separated in the woods? Why is he out there and where is his wife at? I could give a shit less, man. I'm not excited for this. Sorry, people. I knew, and I had a feeling in my gut, man. I knew it. Rennie Harlan was not the guy for this. Now, granted, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, and y'all know it. Y'all know when I'm wrong. I will come back and let y'all know. Like, listen, y'all, whoever's out there was telling me that I was going to be wrong about it, I will go and say, yeah, y'all were right. Y'all were right. And in this case, I don't think so. Like I said, this don't even look better than part two. And part two is solid. It's solid, man. But this, like, come on, man. Then it's like, now you get to see how the strangers became the strangers. That's what the taglines was, or the captions were saying as the trailer went along. So is Rennie Harlan, are you doing things that lead up to the first movie we got? Like, is chapter 1, 2, and 3 going to be, you know, is the strangers we knew the first time around, is that part 4? Are you just literally doing just your own 3 versions in a reboot? Come on, man. It's the same shit. It's nothing new except the minor things. Okay, you go into town and you get the cliche. That's some Friday the 13th shit. That's Friday the 13th shit. I almost said Children of Corn, but not really. Yeah, the two kids that pop up, those Latter-day Saints kids, those are That's Children of the Corn shit, but it's not creepy. They weren't meant to be creepy in the first movie. They were just two kids passing by that were going to knock on the door on some "Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior" type of thing, and they found the dead bodies and made the 911 call. Now y'all trying to make it seem like these two, like y'all in Nebraska, like Gatlin, Nebraska, from Children of the Corn. It's not scary. It's not creepy. It's not, man. Those kids just look, it looked like the direction Rennie Harlan gave them was just, all right, now look creepy, action. And they just was like, okay, let's do our best impressions of Isaac from Children of Corn. But that is literally not even necessarily Friday the 13th, but it reminds me, like, Friday the 13th was one of the first movies I saw that did that, where the girl Annie walks into the diner and she's like, how far is it to Camp Crystal Lake? And everybody just turns around. Matter of fact, that's some Pee Wee Herman, the Pee Wee's Big Adventure shit, where he walks in like, Large Marge sent me. And you hear glasses and plates drop and break and shit, and everybody turns around and just awkwardly looks at him. Like, y'all aren't that, I guess, obviously. The townspeople know they're tourists. They know they're not from there. But y'all ain't that fucking out of place compared to these people. You know, that they just turn around and just look at you all weird. And then it's time to leave. You know, I don't even want to get nothing to eat or drink at this point. I don't want to ask for no directions. We'll figure it out. Like, just leave at that point. Like, I don't. This shit almost turned into a rant, man. I can't. Not excited for it. Lionsgate, y'all could have spent this money on something else. You know, like, I'll give y'all a original script idea. I don't know if it's going to be good. Some people might say it won't even be better than this, but I can give y'all something original, or at least what I think is original, as opposed to this shit, Lionsgate. Y'all can hit me up and give me that money to make my own movie instead of this bullshit, because what are y'all doing? What the fuck are y'all doing, man? This is why I got a list somewhere of great remakes, bad remakes, and middle-of-the-road remakes. So the ones that are just dry. Like, the ones that are just dry are ones like, I don't know, The Hitcher. You know, like, I haven't seen all of it, but from what I've seen, I'm like, yeah, this ain't got shit on C. Thomas Howard and Rutger Hauer. I don't know if I said those names right or what. But The Stepfather, that was a remake that wasn't terrible. It was just dry as shit. You know, like, the performances weren't necessarily bad, but Terry O'Quinn and Jill Sholin, like, y'all ain't got shit on them in that movie. It's just dry, you know. Then you got remakes that are just bad, overall bad, like My Bloody Valentine 3D or Black Christmas 2019 and things like that. Like, you've got ones that are just bad. I don't know where this is going to land. I just know as far as, like, as of right now, you are looking like the unnecessary Cabin Fever and Psycho remakes. That's straight up, man. Like, you're doing the bare minimum to make this different. Like, what's going to separate this from the first movie or even the second movie? Because it's not much. Bare minimum bullshit with remakes, man. And I'm very lenient with remakes, man. I was just talking on Instagram to a couple of people because I was talking about the Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead remake that they got coming out. Now, I said back in 2020 that movie was going to be bullshit. Looked at the trailer, and as much as I love that, you know, I'm all for black cinema. I'm all for black cinema and black family movies and shit, but just call it something else. You don't have to do a Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead remake. I don't care if it's an all-black cast or not. It's pointless. It's no point of it. They just announced yesterday or the day before that they're remaking The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Seth MacFarlane's behind it. So, you know, he's a comedy guy. His comedy is gold most of the time. But why remake The Naked Gun? Why reboot it? It's unnecessary. You're never going to touch the late 80s, early 90s slapstick comedy of the Zucker Brothers. All you're going to do is make it raunchy and nasty. And I don't know. I could be wrong about both of the movies I just mentioned, but this is falling in line with all the unnecessary, pointless fucking remakes and reboots that I've been talking about all week long. And I feel like I've exhausted myself enough on this, people. Y'all already know where to go. And if y'all don't, y'all can follow the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, Podbean, and Podcast Addict. Shout out to Spotify for podcasters. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, Romero Tutor. Shout out to the Facebook movie group, The Cinemaniacs. And last but certainly not least, shout out to the Tudor reviewers, the listeners, the lovers, the supporters out there. Hope everybody has a great and safe weekend. It is Friday. It is daddy-daughter weekend, so I will definitely not be recording, at least maybe until I'll probably, if we get some trailers, I'll probably try to squeeze them in. As far as commentaries, I'm not so sure what we got coming up next. I know it is March. I know I did say that I was going to try to get some sports commentaries out the way, but there are some things that need to get straightened out outside of the show, so I definitely have to focus on that. But that does not mean we're going to be gone for too long, people. And just to hold everybody over, I'll be dropping this trailer reaction today, Like I said, it's Friday. So I'm going to drop this trailer reaction today. It's my cheat day because y'all know I usually do the trailers on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But I also just dropped the Intox commentary, I think, this morning for The Temptations Part 1. I was holding on to that shit since last Saturday. And I wasn't going to drop it, man, because I was having way too much fun laughing, singing. I don't think there's a song in the commentary or in the movie that I wasn't singing while I was super fucked up. So I said, okay, I'm always vulnerable and, you know, goofy and just pretty open with y'all anyway, because y'all keep this thing afloat, man. So I said, let me just drop the Intox commentary. It's been a while. I don't remember when the last one was, but I do know that Temptations, I gotta warm up to Part 2. I cut it off. I didn't give a rating or anything at the end of it because I wanted to just cut it off, cut the commentary short as soon as it ended, and then get right back to y'all with, not right back, but get back to The Temptations with the second part of the movie. When that's going to be, I don't know. And is that going to be an Intox commentary? I don't think so, because we know things start to, in the second half of that movie, things start to spiral out of control, and there is a character in there. Actually, I keep saying characters. We know they're based on actual people, but the character in the movie of Paul, we know Paul struggles with alcohol in that movie. So I don't know. I felt like it would be, I don't know. Do I dare say it would be disrespectful to his legacy to do an Intox commentary for it? I feel like at this point y'all get what the narrative is, and I feel like y'all get what my intentions are. So I feel like there's not really anything that's off limits as far as Intox commentary goes. I feel like I said in The Temptations opening, as long as it's in good context, I feel like there's no harm, no foul. So nothing's really off limits as far as the Intox commentaries, unless somebody asked me to do like The Color Purple or Roots or some shit like that. We're not doing that, man. I purposely didn't do any struggle movies last month for Black History Month, but I don't think there's any room to do The Color Purple or Roots just in general. You know, I just can't do it, man. I did see, I keep getting sidetracked here. I'm trying to close this shit out, man, but I did see The Color Purple was like racking up a bunch of positive reviews and positive feedback, and that's good for them, man. Shout out to all of the cast members. I did hear there was some beef with Oprah and Taraji, but I ain't trying to promote that on the show, man. I'm not a fucking tabloid journalist. I feel like we got enough of those in the world, people. But y'all already know the love and support y'all show me, I show it back to y'all tenfold and then some. So with that being said, people, yours truly, Romero Tudor. Another episode of Tudor Reviews in the can. I'll check y'all on the next one.